The next case in our calendar is 95-1253 Axel Selding versus the Administrator of the Harbor Employment Services. Mr. Marcovi.
May it please the court, at this time I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time, Mr. Buck.
Thank you. Your Honors, the issue in this case is whether the decision rendered by the Unemployment Compensation Board of Review that 107 employees of Axel Salt who received vacation pay during a 2.5-week layoff in May of 1991 were entitled to receive, in addition to that pay, unemployment compensation benefits unreduced was unreasonable, unlawful, or against the manifest way of the evidence. It is submitted by the appellant, Your Honor, that it is all three. Your Honors, these Axel employees were members of a union which had a collective bargaining agreement with Axel. The bargaining agreement governed vacations. Article 18, Section 4 gave employees the right to request certain vacation times, but reserved the sole decision on when those vacations would be taken to the company. There was no section which specified when vacation pay was to be paid, with one exception, Section 6 of that agreement. Section 6 said in the event of a termination, a resignation, or a layoff, the vacation pay was to be given to the employees at that time. The employees were laid off. They received their vacation pay in their very next check. The employees applied for employment compensation. It was granted. Axel appealed, and a consolidated hearing was held before the Board of Review. It was held on stipulated facts. The Board of Review, despite those facts, held first that these employees were unemployed within the meaning of the law. Second, it held that despite the plain language of Revised Code 4141.31A5, the benefits which would be otherwise payable because they were unemployed would not be reduced by vacation pay. Because, according to the Board of Review decision, vacations were scheduled by the employees, and somehow the vacation pay that they actually received at the time of the layoff would be allocated to some other time. This decision of the Board of Review was timely appealed to the Court of Common Pleas, which affirmed without opinion, without making any resolution whatsoever as to whether the Board of Review decision was reasonable, lawful, and in accord with the manifest weight of the evidence. And the Court of Appeals further affirmed the trial court only by holding the trial court did not abuse its discretion. Your Honors, first and foremost, the Court of Appeals clearly erred in applying an abuse of discretion standard. This court's recent decision in Sandus Plakas and Manus mandates that at every reviewing level, including this court, the record which is made in the Board of Review and the decision of the Board of Review is reviewed de novo on a standard of whether or not the decision is unreasonable, unlawful, and against the manifest weight of the evidence. That is the standard of review which should have been before the Court of Appeals and which is before this court.
Was there a collective bargaining agreement here?
Yes, Your Honor, there is.
Didn't the collective bargaining agreement set forth the invocations to be had, and had they all agreed to that?
It set forth the mechanism for scheduling them, and they had all agreed to that. Yes, Your Honor.
And how does it change suddenly because the company decides to schedule this termination of employment for a period of time because of slowdown, and the collective bargaining agreement governs wages, hours, working conditions of the employees?
Because the collective bargaining agreement under Section 4, Your Honor, reserves the ultimate decision on scheduling of those vacations to the company.
And then
decision of the company.
And they were scheduled.
There was a schedule which was of record. And I believe it appears in the supplement to the appellee's brief, Your Honor, and it shows that it was dated approximately a month or two before the layoff in March.
So what happened is, pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, the schedule was set and approved by both sides, and now there's a unilateral change in that. Is that fair? Right?
It is what the employees have bargained for, Your Honor, in their collective bargaining agreement, in the sole decision of the company.
Well, but they, in the sole decision of the company, they agreed with that, and they then worked out the schedule. And the schedule was in place, was it not? The way I read it, it was. And I guess my question is, how is this different from the Bud case?
Your Honor, The Buck case is interesting, and as you well know, as you and Justice Resnick were on the Court of Appeals for Wood County that rendered that decision, and it differs in two very significant respects. First, your decision in the Buck case was that the vacation pay there, and we're talking about pay, not time, and there's a distinction between the time and the pay here. The vacation pay there was held to be a bonus, that under the mechanism in this collective bargaining agreement, that's certainly not the case. The second, and I think more important, more significant distinction between that case and this one, Your Honor, is that that case is the facts in that case are the mirror image of the facts in this case. In Bud, Your Honor, the employees took vacation and got paid at a variety of different times which were not temporally related to the layoff. Months after the layoff, the company attempted to say, well, we designate that pay that an employee received when he had time off over here, received when he had time off over here. We want that designated to this time here,
yeah, they were
the
doing
time
it,
of the layoff.
They were doing it after the fact. Here you were doing it contemporaneously. What's the difference?
So the difference is the employees received the pay when they took their vacation at these various times. They didn't receive the pay at the time of the layoff. They didn't punch out the day before the layoff started and get it with a check. What there, the company was attempting to say, well, we want to take this pay that was paid all over different times and bring it to this time here. Here, the company said, here is where the employees are leaving, this time. Here is where they're getting the money, this time. What the
contrary to the schedule that the parties had worked out. Fair?
Yes, it's fair, and I'll explain why it's fair, Your Honor.
Fair statement. Contrary to the schedule that the parties had mutually worked out pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement.
The scheduling of Justice Douglas, I think that we have a differing understanding of the labor agreement,
okay,
which leads me to another point. It's my understanding that the ultimate scheduling of vacations is left to the company. And if the company said, it's now May 5th, 1991, you get your paid time off now, then that's when it is, because it is in their sole decision.
Okay.
I think that that's plain and unambiguous in the words of the collective bargaining agreement and need no interpretation.
I concede that. Is that what happened here?
That the company said, today, May 5th, is the time you get your time off.
After they'd already told employees, by virtue of the schedule, that you have September 15th off.
And they said,
our mind, we're going to make it today.
And on September 15th, you'll be here at work and earning money. Let's assume, Justice Douglas, that there are two employees, one who took his vacation April 1st, and one who had it scheduled after this layoff in 1991.
Happened in Bud.
Both of them are going to make pay for the time they work and pay for the time that they're on vacation $30,000 a year. Because they're both going to either be off or they're going to work. The employee who took his time off early is not going to be paid by AXO for the 4 weeks that he's on layoff. He's going to get unemployment benefits. So he's going to get money from the unemployment system because he is neither working and he is not receiving remuneration. The other employee is going to get his $30,000 because he's receiving remuneration during the time he's laid off, and in addition, he's going to get a bonus from the courtesy of the Board of Review because he's going to get unemployment benefits on top of that because he isn't going to be taking his vacation in September. He's going to be taking his vacation in May. He isn't getting unpaid time off. Instead, courtesy of the Unemployment Compensation Board of Review, he's getting a bonus. Yes, it would be unfair to uphold the decision of Board of Review because he gets more money than the other fellow. Your Honors, more to the point, before you get to that question, you have to ask the question, were they unemployed at this time? Unemployment benefits are purely statutory. There's no common law right to them. The statute in effect in 1991 defined unemployment as being not working, not performing services, and not receiving remuneration. The Board of Review found the first half of the test, and will concede that. They certainly were performing services for AXO in May of 1991, but they received remuneration with respect to those weeks. Section 6 mandated that they receive remuneration, their vacation pay, with respect to those weeks, and they got it. They weren't unemployed. 414129 says, if you are not unemployed, you are not eligible for unemployment benefits. I know this sounds very simplistic, but I think it has to be understood that before we reach a question of reducing benefits or the effect of 414131A5, which is what the Bush case was about, we have to ask the question, were they unemployed? Now, but those people were unemployed because they, during those weeks that they were off, didn't receive remuneration. In our case, those 107 employees of AXO received remuneration with respect to those weeks. They weren't unemployed. There is nothing in this record that says those employees were unemployed at any other time of the year. I would respectfully submit that if they had been, that is to say, if they had had time off and not received remuneration at some other time of the year, by the time this hearing took place in December of 1991, they certainly would have been there with evidence, and it is their burden to show that. They weren't.
To interrupt, the opponents argued that 414101 is a two-part test, and it's saying these were the not performing services and where there is no remuneration. So how do you respond to that?
I think that's my argument. That you have to have both of those happening to be unemployed under 414101M. In this case, they weren't performing services, but they were receiving remuneration with respect to those weeks. They had those vacation checks, which was stipulated, were dated from May of 1991, and they received them in May of 1991. They were paid for this time. And there is nothing in the record to show that they had any other time off. The rest of the weeks, they worked and were employed. So, Your Honors, the threshold question, before we reach a question of 414131A5, we have to ask, do they even get that to that point? Are they eligible for benefits? And clearly, they are not under the law. They received remuneration with respect to those weeks, and they were unemployed. But let's assume, just for purposes of argument, and this gets back to, I said, Justice Douglas, there were two points that were raised, and I hadn't forgotten the other one. Let's assume for purposes of argument that they were unemployed within the meaning of the Act, and that they, the question then arises under 414131A5 as to whether those benefits should have been reduced. Your Honors, the benefits should have been reduced. They should have been reduced because the statute first says if there are vacation benefits paid under a collective bargaining agreement, we all agree that these benefits were paid under a collective bargaining agreement, vacation pay. It then says, if the employer designates it to particular weeks, not necessarily in the collective bargaining agreement, mind you, but if the employer designates it to particular weeks of a layoff, it shall be reduced by that the amount received. The unemployment benefits will be reduced by the amount received. We know the employer designated it to the weeks of the layoff. Section 6 mandated it first of the collective bargaining agreement. Secondly, it was stipulated that the checks were paid for that amount. Third, the evidence of record, and appears in the supplement to our brief at pages 35 to 59, show that when the employer was asked by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, or Unemployment Compensation, I'm sorry, I do a lot of that other reason. Wage and separation information forms were sent. The employer stated at Section 5 of those wage and separation forms that they were designating this vacation pay to the weeks of the layoff. There is no evidence to the contrary that shows that the pay was designated anywhere else by the employer. But let's assume that that's all unclear too. The statute goes on further to state what's supposed to happen if compensation is not designated by the employer. Let's say that all of that evidence, which the Board of Review ignored, was unclear. 414131A5 of the second paragraph says, if there is no designated time period with respect to which payments to an individual are made under the section, then an amount equal to such individual's normal weekly wage shall be attributed to and deemed paid with respect to the first and each succeeding week following separation and termination from employment.
Your argument is really a windfall argument, and some people are going to get money that they shouldn't have had coming. Now, let me ask you this. I'm an employee. My vacation is scheduled January 15th to January 30th. I take it and I get paid. Then you lay me off on May 15th till May 30th. I get unemployment compensation?
Yes, because you were neither working nor receiving remuneration.
Okay. Now, the same example, except that I'm an employee and my vacation is September 15th to September 30th. I'm unemployed from May 15th to May 30th because of the plant shutdown. I get unemployment compensation. Just that far, I get unemployment compensation.
Depends on when you get paid.
I'm unemployed at that point pursuant to the statute.
Okay. Right? In May 15th, they're neither working nor receiving remuneration.
Right. So
they get compensation.
So I get compensation.
Correct.
All right. Now it comes to September. And I take my vacation.
And get paid.
I get paid.
Yes.
How have I been different than if I had the same thing in March and in January? I got paid in January. And I get paid in May. I get paid in May and I get paid in September.
I see my time, but if I can finish the question, Justice Douglas.
What you're doing, you're saying you're buying their September 15th vacation by laying them off and paying them in May.
And they didn't take, in our case, Your Honor, they didn't take vacation in September.
I understand.
Okay, on the facts of this case, they didn't get vacation in September. And the only valid interpretation of the contract is so held.
They didn't take vacation in September. They worked and got their pay.
Right.
If they had taken their vacation, they had still got their pay.
If they hadn't been paid in May.
Yes. So you unilaterally did that.
And they were paid.
I understand.
And therefore they weren't unemployed. Your Honors, the decision of the Board of Review was clearly not in accordance with the statutory law. In fact, it wholesale ignored the statutory law.
You've used your time.
Okay. We ask for a reversal.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Friedman.
May it please the Court, my name is Dexter Friedman. I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General's Office, which represents the Ohio Bureau of Employment Services.
Ms. Friedman, let me get right to the issue. Isn't the question we have to decide is whether the term no remuneration under M includes vacation pay, whether vacation pay is remuneration or not?
That's the first issue in this case. And
does the time within which the vacation pay is paid, does that have anything to do with whether it's remuneration? Don't we have to decide whether vacation pay as a discrete entity, if you will, is remuneration, is a form of remuneration?
Vacation pay is remuneration, but it's not remuneration within the meaning of 414101M. It is not service. It is not received for services performed for a specific week. There's a special section in the statute that deals specifically with vacation pay, also other similar types of remuneration as disability, retirement funds. That comes under 414131A5. It's apparent that the legislature did not intend the receipt of vacation pay to automatically disqualify a claimant, an employee, from receiving unemployment benefits by receipt of that vacation pay.
Let me go through M. I guess I'm having a problem. M says an individual is totally unemployed in any week during which he performs no services. Here, employees did perform services. And with respect to such week, no remuneration is payable to him. Your argument is that vacation pay was something that was earned not for the services that were performed that week, but earned for obviously for services rendered to the company for a period of time.
Vacation pay was actually for services that were performed prior to the layoff. You had to establish your eligibility for vacation by April 1st. So it is not services, is not remuneration for services performed in a week in which you perform those services. It's a different type of remuneration, and those types of remuneration are contained in the separate section of the statute.
I suppose it could be read to mean that the employee wasn't paid during that week for which they performed service, wasn't paid in any form. That could also be read that way, could it not?
It could be.
Under that theory, though, would a person who then was on vacation in September apply for unemployment benefits because we don't count that that wasn't remuneration, it wasn't paid, that vacation pay in September wasn't paid for September because, as you point out, it was earned for the prior year. You had to qualify by April 1.
Correct. Vacation pay doesn't any
so remuneration apply given that thinking that when you're on vacation you could go ahead and apply for unemployment.
Well, if I understand you correctly, you're saying if you were on vacation, a regular scheduled vacation, and then it would apply for benefits.
Sure, because that pay, when you follow the reasoning, the pay you're receiving during your 2 weeks vacation is not pay that's allocated for those 2 weeks.
That's correct. It would be, your benefits would be reduced under 4141.31A5. You would be entitled to full benefits, and then they would reduce those benefits by your vacation pay, so you could end up receiving no benefits.
Okay.
Your vacation,
that it wouldn't be worthwhile.
If it was a scheduled vacation, you would not receive
so
unemployment.
And the distinction here is scheduled vacations versus required vacations.
Right. Under 4141.31A5, the unemployment compensation statute allows for the deduction of vacation pay from unemployment benefits if and only if they are allocated to the designated weeks in issue. In order to determine how that vacation pay should be allocated, you have to look at the contract. The collective bargaining agreement here is not silent as to the designation of the vacation pay. Vacation pay.
It doesn't really say that, does it, counsel? It doesn't say when it should be designated. It says we'll agree on when you can take it.
Well, there are separate provisions for vacation pay and for vacation time. Employee choice is central to the scheduling procedure here, with preference given to seniority. As recognized earlier, these vacations had to be scheduled. The scheduling was to be complete by March 15th. The vacation lists were published.
Is that whole aspect of this a collective bargaining agreement as opposed to affecting this, the right to unemployment or the right to set off?
Well, the employer here is attempting to supplement the record with an arbitration decision that was rendered approximately a year after the board's decision that dealt with the issue as to whether the employees would actually be receiving their vacation time after the layoff. This should not be considered by the court because the court cannot go beyond the record. The employer here is arguing that it's precedent and that it's authority and that the arbitrator has the final word on the eligibility and the allotment of the vacation time. But the arbitrator cannot make a determination as far as eligibility for unemployment compensation. The arbitrator can only determine and deal with a dispute between two parties, the company and the union. We have a third party here, the Ohio Bureau of Employment Services and the Board of Review, which have been designated by the legislature to hear claims for unemployment, develop a record, and make a legal decision on the eligibility for unemployment compensation. So whatever the arbitrator may have decided as to whether these employees would receive their vacation is irrelevant to the board's decision on the eligibility for unemployment compensation.
If I understand the Board of Review, they gave unemployment to those who had scheduled vacations already during that May period.
That's correct.
Minus the benefits, vacation benefits.
That's correct.
And so those people people are essentially made whole. Okay? The people who had a September vacation scheduled, they gave them unemployment and they got vacation, no reduction.
That's correct.
And then the company did not let them take a vacation leave. Is that correct?
That it appears that way from the decision.
So that those persons were A, deprived of vacation when they wanted to take it, but got more money than anybody else.
Actually, they got exactly what they were entitled to. They had an expectation under the collective bargaining agreement to receive vacation pay and vacation time. They also had an expectation to receive benefits for a layoff. It's not an unfair decision. What would be unfair if for those employees who were able to take an early vacation, receive both vacation pay, vacation time, and benefits, and all the other employees who had scheduled vacations after June 2nd would only get vacation pay. You have to look at this payment as an accelerated vacation payment. That's how the Court of Appeals, called it. It's an accelerated payment. It is part of the collective bargaining agreement to receive this accelerated payment in time of a layoff. But there's nothing in the collective bargaining agreement that gives the company the right to choose their vacations, nor is there anything that gives the right of the company to schedule a plant layoff. It was an unexpected layoff. I think that the statute, again, allows for the deduction, but only if it's allocated and you have to look to the collective bargaining agreement. In this case, the employer does not have authority to choose the employee's vacations or to allocate that vacation pay to that particular time period. It was not part of the collective bargaining agreement. Therefore, they cannot be reduced under this section of the statute. This case really concerns an attempt by the employer to force its employees to take their already scheduled and already approved vacations during an unexpected four-week plant layoff with the purpose to deprive the employees of their unemployment benefits. It's an attempt by the employer.
The theory here is escaping me, that unemployment is some kind of... One prefers that. I mean, the opposite is that you're working, and they would have been working. So they're not being deprived of unemployment benefits. You think they should have the vacation pay
the
another time of year and be unemployed during this time and get not be working, get benefits, and get their vacation another time of the year.
The employer is attempting here to have the employees underwrite the benefits that the company should be paying.
So what if the nature of the work of a company is that there's just always a slack period? Say it's August. And so the company decides every year we're just going to shut down for 3 weeks in August. And every year employees, that's when your vacation's going to be. That's an announced schedule kind of thing. Everybody gets vacation, paid vacation, but it's not going to be necessarily when you want to go. It's going to be in August because that's when we don't really have any visits. So people are shut the plant down to the year's in August. That's the deal.
Had the employer reserved the right to schedule an annual vacation in the collective bargaining agreement, I don't believe that that would be sufficient to allocate the vacation pay to that time period. However, had the employer, as in the William Smith case, reserved the right to take the two-week vacation, annual shutdown, and to allocate 2 weeks of the employee's vacation time to that particular time period, then that would pass muster under this section of the statute. But that didn't happen here. The collective bargaining agreement did not contain the authority for the employer to do what it did here. The employees had the option to choose their vacation time. The employer did not provide otherwise in the collective bargaining agreement. And the statute only provides that the benefits can be reduced if they are allocated to the designated weeks, and again, you have to look to the collective bargaining agreement here to determine if they have been, and they were not done, and that was not done in this case.
Now, could an employee voluntarily say, you know, the scheme that you had here, I need the money, you know, unemployment benefits aren't that great, so I want to take my vacation money, then I want to work the rest of the year. It's not just vacation.
If the employee voluntarily chose to take their vacation time during that period and have that time allotted, I would say that that would be sufficient. That's what the court dealt with in the Nunnemaker case. At that time, there was an amendment that allowed absolutely no reductions if an employee was unemployed for vacation pay, unemployed other than being on vacation. And the court got around that section of the statute by saying it was a voluntary election, and therefore that they were not involuntarily unemployed, and therefore they would not be entitled to benefits.
So someone who had financially just said, you know, I'm going to have the most money for the year if I just go along with this and take my vacation.
And then not take a vacation at a later time. The purpose of the 59 and 63 amendments, the 63 is very similar to the one that we have here, is really to protect the employees and not allow collective bargaining agreements to deny benefits where the statute provides otherwise. The current statute that we're dealing with does allow allocation, but only if it is specifically designated for those weeks pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement. The employer shutdown and accelerated vacation payments cannot be used to defeat an employee's eligibility for unemployment compensation. We respectfully urge this court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. Mr. McCoy, you've used your time. It will take 30 seconds.
Thank you very much, Justice Moore. Your Honors, if I could hit just 3 points very briefly. First, vacation pay clearly falls under the statutory definition of remuneration, 414101H, all compensation for services. It's an all-encompassing definition. Vacation pay is part of it.
So you don't think it makes any difference then that the collective bargaining agreement provided that employees choose their vacation time as opposed to the employer designating it?
Two points, Justice Rosen. First, the collective bargaining agreement doesn't say that. And secondly, no, it doesn't make a difference. The second point is the purpose for 414135A5 was clearly explained by this court in its Nunnemaker decision as the kind of vacation pay it applies to. That's those vacation pays that regardless of when you take your vacation, they happen to be paid at the same time every year as some companies do. This court explained what that section applies to, and that's not what happened here. Third, Your Honors, this is about the unemployment compensation statute.
Very quickly.
And that isn't about the fairness or unfairness of letting an employee take a vacation at any particular time of the year. That's about providing subsistence to those who, without their own fault, are without work and without wages for a period of time. The board review decision, by letting someone collect both vacation pay and unemployment compensation at the same time, perverts that purpose. It should be reversed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.